Turning this evening to the passage that we read, and I'd like to read verses 18 and 19. And the subject tonight is joy in the Lord. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Well, I wonder tonight if we can answer the question, where is joy in my Christian life? Maybe there have been times that you have known great joy. Perhaps when you were first brought to know the Lord and you look back, perhaps now, many years later, wistfully to those times when you first knew his love, the joy of the Lord. But now perhaps those are distant memories and you have to question, do I really have joy in my Christian life? Now, we know what it's like, don't we, to meet somebody who is joyful. It makes such a difference to us. And perhaps we genuinely want to be joyful. We don't want people to think of us as somebody who is despondent continually and discouraging because of that. We want joy in our Christian life. So tonight I want us to think about this subject and to look at where we can find this joy, because Habakkuk had a supernatural joy within his heart. We read there in verse 17, all the disastrous things that were happening around him, and yet somehow here is this man in the middle of them, knowing that his land was about to be destroyed, that the Lord was going to come. He mentions that day of trouble at the end of verse 16. And yet he had joy in his heart. And it was a purpose of his. He says, yet I will rejoice. There was some determination in Habakkuk to find joy in the Lord. Now, sometimes I've heard seasoned believers say, you can't expect to always walk on the mountaintop of Christian experience. And we know that that's true, and yet there should be some times where we are able to walk, as it were, as Habakkuk says here, upon the high places, knowing the Lord's presence, close to the Lord. Of course, the ancient people in their superstitions used to look at mountains, and they used to say, well, that's nearer to God. If you go up the mountain, you get closer to God. But we shouldn't think really like that. But the picture is obviously of being with the Lord, knowing his presence, being close to him, and having joy because of that. Well, we know that joy is an important marker in Christian character. In Galatians chapter 5, we read about joy being one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy, love, joy, and peace. In fact, it stands immediately after love. It's such an important thing for us in our Christian character. And yet, circumstances come along, don't they, in our Christian lives, and our faces don't always reflect Christian joy. But Habakkuk gives us the key to finding joy. And it's found really in the previous chapter 2 and verse 4. At the end, he says, the just shall live by his faith. Faith has such an important role to play in our joy. If we are not joyful, then often it's an indicator that there's a problem with our faith. Because here you can see at the end of chapter 3, the verses that we've read, Habakkuk had great faith in his God. I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. And so this evening, little is known about Habakkuk really, but we know this about him, that his name actually means ardent embrace. And he ardently embraced the Lord, and by faith embraced the promise of the Lord's salvation. But we go through trials and difficulties, and we want a faith like his that somehow reaches far beyond the earthly realm and lays hold upon the Lord. Well, I will be glad, he's saying. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will triumph in him. Why? Because God has loved him. He's known his salvation. And so has every Christian been loved of God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come with great love for his people. And he's come to give them joy, joy which this world cannot afford. Christ gives us that joy, and he is our salvation. And so we need that faith. We need the Holy Spirit to give to us this fruit of the Spirit, which is true joy in the Lord. I will be glad. I will rejoice. So when we feel under pressure, and often that's the case, we feel to some degree that we're overwhelmed. We sense our weakness then. We sense that we are unable, without the Lord's help, to continue. But even in those times, we can know joy. We can know joy in the Lord, even in trials and struggles. You think of Nehemiah. That's another famous verse in Nehemiah chapter 8. The exiles had just come back to Jerusalem. The city needed building again, and they were no doubt very anxious about it. They were just a feeble group. And yet, he said to them, "The joy of the Lord will be your strength. It will encourage you. It will lift you up. It will help you." And so I hope this evening, as we look at this subject together, that we also will know some lifting up of our head and heart to the Lord. Well, the first thing we need to find out really from Scripture and discover is that our joy is found in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have once tasted of the love of Christ, then surely we, however weak we are, we realize that the Lord will never leave his people. That if we're united to him by faith, if we love him, then he cannot forsake us. And he will give us everything that is good for us and necessary for us to bless us. You remember how he said, "Abide in me." We need to be united then to the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot know true joy unless we know what it is to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. That means to embrace him by faith and to walk in obedience to him. And so he says, "Abide in me and I in you." And then he goes on in John 15 and he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And when we think of when he said those words, it was just before he went up to the cross, just before he suffered in agony there. Yet he was so tender-hearted towards his disciples. He said to them, I want you to know not only my peace, he said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, but also I want you to know my joy. I've told you all these things that you may know my joy, and it may be a full joy. It may be a total joy in your heart. A joy then, when it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, angels cannot give us that joy. Devils cannot take it away. But Christ gives it to us, and he wants us to know the fullness of it. He says it's his joy. He says, I've spoken these things to you that my joy might remain in you. Now, when you think about what that means, what is the joy that is in the Lord Jesus Christ? He says it's his pleasure to always do the Father's will. Obedience was part of his joy, but it was a deep joy. He was in union with his Father. I and my Father are one. And they had that deep fellowship together with the Holy Spirit. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. And so that is the basis of the joy of all of his people. It's his joy, known because he is in perfect union with the Father. It doesn't matter then, does it, whether we are rich or poor or however broken we are as individuals. If we are in Christ, we can receive of the joy of the Lord. Well, this fountain then of joy, as Habakkuk realized, even in the worst situations, it will never fail. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Well, have we made a discovery of this joy in our own lives? It's perhaps something that we wrestle with and struggle with as individual believers. Maybe we have, we confess, at times been more dejected than we should have been. We've walked around with perhaps a long face, and we've struggled with the problems that we've faced, and we've not honored the Lord in the way that we have behaved or conducted ourselves, all because we do not abide in him by faith completely. And I know we're all in need of the help of the Holy Spirit continually to give us that sense of union with him, that we may know this joy. You think of the two on the road to Emmaus. We can't throw any stones at them, can we? Christ came to them and he said, Why are you so discouraged? Why do you look so gloomy? And he chided with their lack of faith. O fools, and slow of heart to believe. All these things, of course, should have come to pass. Ought not Christ to have suffered? Oftentimes we can be discouraged. And yet, Christ desires us to be united to him, that my joy might remain in you. And so that union to Jesus Christ is the most important thing. Do we have it this evening? Secondly, our joy in the Lord most often will be found through sufferings. That's what the scripture teaches very plainly, that suffering is often the path through which we discover the joy of the Lord. You think of Paul and Silas in the jail there at Philippi. They just had their backs beaten, and they were sitting in the jail, in the stocks. And what were they doing? Singing praises unto the Lord. What an amazing thing, isn't it? How can that be possible? They've just suffered. They're in agony. They're in pain. And yet, they sing praises to God. And it was a remarkable occasion. You remember the jailer at the earthquake that suddenly came. In the midst of it all, came to know joy in his own heart. And it was through suffering. I often think about Richard Wurmbrand. Many of you will have heard of him. He spent, I think it was 14 years in a communist jail in Romania, three of which were in solitary confinement without seeing the light or seeing any other face other than his tormentors. And such was his cell. It was so deep inside the prison that he could hear no sound other than the noise of the propaganda which they blasted into his cell on occasion. But it was there in that cell that he found great joy, supernatural joy, because there the Lord was with him. And he would prepare sermons, and he would explain that he would preach them, as it were, to the angels. There's no one to hear, but he would preach about Christ and his saving love to sinners, to the angels. Well, it's often in the loneliest and darkest of places, like we see here in the situation that Habakkuk found himself in, that we can experience the reality of true Christian joy through our knowledge of his love to our souls. One of the old medieval hymn writers penned the hymn, "Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. O Jesus, light of all below, thou fount of life and fire, surpassing all the joys we know and all we can desire." See then, this is the path to joy. Now in James 1, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy," or pure joy, "when ye fall into diverse temptations and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." This is your joy, to even enter into temptations and trials. Count it all joy, sheer joy, because you will know what it is to suffer for the name of the Lord. Now, the word joy in the New Testament is very similar to the word for grace. And in grace, there is a dimension of grace which is joyful. Grace is surprising, isn't it? It surprises us because God has been so unexpectedly good to us, and it brings us joy to consider his grace to our soul. And so consider it all joy. We're forced by circumstances or trials to come alone to the Lord, to look alone to the Lord, to get our strength from the Lord. And it's at those times we can know joy. In Romans chapter 5, we read of how often it is through tests, almost like being exercising our muscles and building our strength, that we can increase in faith and hope. He says in verse 4 of Romans 5, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. Sorry, in verse 3, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It strengthens our joy as we go through those trials. Now, we perhaps don't think like that, do we? But the Lord Jesus, remember, he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It's just not natural, is it, to think like that? But that's the biblical pattern. Often we discover true biblical joy through suffering. In Acts 5, the apostles had just been beaten by the Sanhedrin council, and they'd been told not to preach or teach in the name of the Lord. What did they do? They went away counting themselves well, they were full of joy because they said, we've been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. Well, the Bible teaches us then, like this situation that Habakkuk found himself in, a dark, dark situation, a very dark valley of trouble. But there can be shafts of light that reach down into the very depths. God's joy can come to us, and the Holy Spirit can transform a Christian's whole outlook when he perceives by faith the joy of the Lord. You think of Stephen as he was being stoned to death. He looked up and he saw Christ at the right hand of the Father standing, waiting for him, as it were. And his face shone even as he was dying. Christ, it said of him that he went to the cross, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He looked ahead, and he was, in a sense, anticipating the day when all of his people would be gathered together and would know the joy of salvation with him for eternity. Well, have we taken up our cross? Or have we shied away from it because we say, well, I don't want the pain of the cross? And it's only often through the pain that we can know the joy of the Lord. Have we lost our zeal for the Lord? We've become discouraged and despondent. We don't want to put any effort into the service of the Lord anymore. There's perhaps some cherished sin or possession that we prize more highly than the things of the kingdom of God. And in so doing, we've lost much of our joy because we're being disobedient to his call. Forgetting those things which are behind, the apostle said, didn't he? And reaching forth unto those things which are before, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. A calling of joy, a hope which is full of joy. And so we're happy to leave behind all other things. Well, lastly this evening, our joy in the Lord is based upon his brotherhood. Now, the early Christians knew what it was like to be bound together in mutual love for one another. They felt themselves as a band of brothers and sisters. But it was all based upon their union to Christ, his brotherhood. We read of them rejoicing together, eating their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Why? Because they knew something of the brotherhood of Christ. Now, what do we mean by this? Well, we mean we have a physical union with the Lord. Though he was made higher than the angels, you remember he was made flesh. He came down into the world. He was born of a woman. He took flesh and blood. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Because Christ came down into the world and as flesh and blood entered into time and space, and he gave himself, he entered through the gates of death, that through death he might destroy death and deliver his people. And so in that sense we can say Christ is my brother. I'm united to him because he has physically come. He's entered into this world. And whatever I can go through, he has gone through. And in that sense, he's able to succor me, to strengthen me, to give me joy, to give me hope. But also it's a supernatural union. Yes, he took manhood, but because he took manhood, he gives us a spiritual birth. He causes us to be born again and gives us, Peter says, exceeding great and precious promises that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, we have God at work in our heart. We've been born again of the Holy Spirit. And we have a hope beyond this world. We've been lifted as beggars from the dunghill and set among princes. And this is what Christ has done for us. He's lifted us up. We have a new status in him, and this is the basis for our joy. But also we think of Christ as being very sympathetic to our souls. He is a brother born for adversity. He understands. In Hebrews 2 it says, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Of course, Christ was absolutely holy, but Jesus understands. He knows what we're going through. Habakkuk could say, I know that my God knows all of my problems and cares, but still I will rejoice in him. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply? For mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long night dreary, I know my Saviour cares. A brother born for adversity. This is where we find our joy. But then it's a sacrificial union with the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater love hath a man than this. Christ died for our sins and was buried, and he rose again the third day. What does the apostle say? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For the sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us. What joy should be in our hearts when we contemplate him. Well, finally tonight we think of the eternal union of Christ to his people. There is a bond of this brotherhood. It can never be dissolved. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us from Christ's love? It's impossible, isn't it? And so we are to know joy in the Lord. Sometimes we might say we don't feel very joyful. But the Lord, by the Spirit, can still bring us joy. The Apostle Paul said an interesting thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where he lists out his service for the Lord, all the trials he went through, and he said this, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Now you might say, well, how can I be sorrowful and yet always be rejoicing? Well, yes, this joy of Christ doesn't necessarily take away our sorrows or our pain, but it's still joy because we can see beyond, like Habakkuk here, with the eye of faith. And so it's not about just suppressing the sorrow, but it's looking beyond it to the joy that is to come. Because of this, the apostle said, I'm always rejoicing. I can see what's ahead of me. I have the eye of faith fixed firmly on things which are above. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit then, to give to us, to influence our hearts, and to bring us light and comfort in times of trial, and to assist us to know this joy of the Lord. Oh, may the Lord bless his word to us this evening. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen.